If you have a Bible, you would like to take it and turn to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. We began last week an introduction on the book of Mark and begin this week in the first chapter and first verse of Mark. I have stated in previous times about the structure of a sermon, that in a sermon you have what is commonly referred to as an introduction, which is something that is said to give you a reason to listen. Now, most of the time, you're in a church setting, you are there because you want to listen. You want to be among God's people, and you want to hear what is preached from God's Word. But it is always my thought that you ought to be given a reason to listen to that particular message, that there should be something that draws you into it, and that there is a progression of thought that will keep you going throughout it. That starts off right from the beginning. In the Gospel of Mark, I think we have that same thing in verse 1 of chapter 1. It is something where Mark is telling us the reason he's writing. And he is telling us the reason he's writing right up front, and it's a very bold statement. For those that have been Christians for a long time, sometimes it may lose some of that impact. It may lose some of that boldness because we're familiar with it. We've heard that phrase, familiarity breeds contempt. I don't think we have it in that sense, but it breeds a commonness to it. And I want to look at that first verse of the first chapter of Mark and try and look at it from a fresh perspective, not changing anything, but looking at exactly what the meaning of these words are, because it is an extremely bold and powerful statement that Mark makes at the beginning, and it is the reason to read or to listen to everything else that he has to say. To the point where if you sit down and you read the book of Mark and you read it striving to understand, striving to know what he's speaking about, I don't think you will be the same person at the end of your reading as you were at the beginning, because it's how powerful the message of the Gospel of Mark is. And it is wrapped up in that first verse of chapter 1. It says, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, throughout the scriptures, there are titles to books of the Bible. You will find that in the Old Testament, the titles of the books are generally the first phrase of the book. It is commonly given in that sense. I don't think Mark is giving us a title to the book. I think he's being very specific and using very specific language for us to understand what it is he's speaking about. Because he is writing at a time when there was no other gospel written. This is the first gospel that is written, if tradition holds true. And so he is writing these things to let us know who Christ is. Who is Jesus and why he is the Christ. And he starts his book off with the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As I said, I don't think it's a title. I think it's a declaration. I think it's a very bold declaration, saying to anyone that reads, to anyone that listens, this is the most important book you're ever going to read. It is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As we go through this verse, hopefully you will see just how a Jewish reader would have approached this verse. Think about how bold it would have been for a Jew to read this and to hear someone say that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus, whose name is Joshua, who means Savior, is the Anointed One. He is the Messiah. He is the one that is foretold to come to bring salvation to the people. He is the one that is foretold to come, and that one is the Son of God. That is an amazing claim to make. It is something that would capture the attention of any Jew reading it. It would capture the attention of any Gentile reading it, because to hear that someone, anyone, is the Son of God, is that bold. You think about this, the word beginning. Now, there are many that will say this is a title, an introduction to the book. I don't think it's an introduction in that sense. I think it's an introduction in the sense of telling us what's going to happen. But it's a time mark as well. You think about the scriptures, you think about what has gone on previous to this time. It is the Old Testament. It is the beginning of creation, all the way through to the choosing of Abraham, to the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, to the establishment of a kingdom, going through the Old Testament and prophets coming and people rising up and people falling, people worshiping and following God and people falling away from Him. And how does the Old Testament end? What is the note that it ends upon? Well, we find that in Malachi chapter 3. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. And Malachi chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. Malachi 3, which is the last book of the Old Testament in the order in which we have it in our Bibles. It's also the last book in chronological sequence of the Old Testament. It is the last prophet that comes before Jesus Christ. It says, "Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts." And then in chapter 4, he says, "Behold, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." You read that, and you read what Mark says in verses 2 and 3. "As it is written in the prophets, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight." That verse 3 is a quote from Isaiah chapter 40 that I read in the beginning. What Mark is doing is saying the Old Testament has left off with the promise of the messenger of the Lord. And before the messenger of the Lord starts, there's going to be one coming, crying in the wilderness, Make straight the paths of the Lord. It is the voice of the spirit of Elijah. And what does Mark tell us? Mark is saying this is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It is the arrival on the scene of John the Baptist. He arrives on the scene and starts to preach the repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And who arrives? It's Jesus Christ. He's on the scene. The gospel has begun when John starts to preach. And that's what Mark tells us here, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, if you recall the story, the Lord has ascended into heaven. And Peter and the rest of the disciples, minus Judas, have gone back to Jerusalem. And they're sitting gathered together in an upper room. And there's about 120 present. And Peter gets up and he says, "We have to choose someone to replace Judas. We have to make a choice. How do we make that choice? We're going to choose someone that has been with us from the baptism of John, from the beginning, that has witnessed all of the things that Jesus has done, all of the things of who Jesus is. That's who we're going to choose." And they choose lots, and it falls upon Matthias. And that choice is made, and it's made because of the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ. When Mark tells us, it is here when John arrives upon the scene. Why is that significant? Why is it something that we should be in mind of? Because when the gospel begins, it doesn't end, does it? It is still going on. The gospel age still is moving forward. If you are a Christian, you are a result of that. You are a result of the witness of those 12 men.